We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hong Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by our friends in Bend, Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend for Beaver Nation. It's fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha, Bend, Oregon, the Beaver State. I suppose more than anything else, we can begin this week's edition of the Sports Podcast with head coach Scott Ruick talking about, for all the glories of Italy and a tour and the international experiences of so many of your players, past and present, nothing better than the Beaver State and to be sitting in your office getting ready for another year in Corvallis, Oregon.
Well, you're right on that. I mean, it's a special time of year as we're preparing. We're all undefeated. Everybody's excited this time of year in our sport, and you know, that's true of us as well. And so practice is going well. We have the memory of what happened in Italy and the way the team performed that, you know, gives us a lot of hope going into this year. We had that anyway, but it's a privilege to sit in this chair every day, you know, and represent this university and do it knowing that you have such an incredible group of young women that you get to lead.
Coach, how valuable are those extra practice times when you get that trip every 5 years?
Well, I was just commenting last night how I've really enjoyed practice, and I feel like we're really making strides, and this team is really receptive to what we're talking about, the concepts that we're working on, and a lot of the things we're doing right now are breaking down individual skills within our main concepts. And most of the time this year, we're talking about those main concepts. Well, that happened in August this year. Those 10 practices were 10 true, you know, 2.5 hour practices where we were putting in an entire system in 10 days, which, you know, that's daunting and fun. It's a fun challenge for a coach, certainly, but it has moved us way down the road. And so you get to do it once every 4 years. And during those opportunities, you know, you do take strides forward. So we're way ahead this year and taking full advantage, you know, of that opportunity.
Coach, the last time you took a tour to Italy was the summer of 2015, and you have not at all shied away from saying, hey, and the last time we did that, the year ended in the Final Four. With respect to goals for this year's tour, what it may translate into this year's team, I mean, from what I've heard of you publicly, you're not backing away from high expectations for this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we hope for the same thing, you know, and this is a group full of students that came here to achieve just that. Many of them are here because of that Final Four run. That was their experience in watching our program. You know, even our freshmen this year, the first conversations were after our first Baylor win that led to that Final Four. And so that opened up the Midwest to us in recruiting battles and all these things. So our team is filled with individuals that expect that themselves. So I'm not going to downplay, you know, their expectations. I love that. You know, I'm here for the same thing. And so we're excited about the opportunity. We know how hard it is. Certainly, we've come up short the last 3 years of that goal that every team has had. And so this team, you know, they've had fun with it, too. They want more than what we did a year ago, you know, and they believe they're capable. And I'm not going to argue with them. I do, too. And so yeah, I think it's fun to throw that out there and then chase it down.
You mentioned the Midwest getting opened up. Was that something you would have wanted, even without the national exposure of the Final Four run, is to have a wider recruiting range and nationwide? Because internationally, you're very successful, but also what about having a greater than just the Pacific Northwest or the West Coast?
Yeah, we were realistic in our recruiting efforts that even getting into Southern California initially was difficult for us. They're like, well, Oregon State hasn't done anything for a long time, and so why would I even consider coming up? And that's not just the students, that's also coaches, you know, that were waiting to see. I hear your vision, but I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't argue with that. And so then you go to, you know, where the possibilities are, and sometimes that's overseas. Sometimes, fortunately, it was in the Northwest where, you know, I had already had a reputation as a coach at a lower level, but, you know, from the way we ran our program and those things, they listened, and then they heard the vision. And then, fortunately, a Jamie Wisner and people like her, Sam and Devin, our local, you know, students, jumped on board with that vision and said, yeah, we're going to be the ones to create it. Well, now it's proven, and now it's happened. And so now people are wondering, well, how the heck is this team from Oregon beating Baylor? And not just once, but twice, yeah, on the biggest stages. And let me go look. And then when they come out, and they walk on this campus and they sit in this office and interact, most importantly, with our players and understand, you know, what this team is about and how it really is a family, like we talk about it. They feel it. Then it's like, you know what? This is a place I want to be, and I'm going to have a home away from home. And that's been proven now, you know, with Taylor, you know, with Kennedy from Kansas and Texas. And certainly, you know, we've had success overseas. But they realize not only can we win at an extremely high level, they can reach maybe even beyond what their initial goals were. Mm-hmm. You know, and you watch Sydney playing such a big role for the Sparks this year, and Marie playing for the Dream and sticking in the WNBA. And then we have players, you know, all over Europe right now playing. And so all those things have become possible in their mind because now they can actually see it.
Yeah. Coach, can you quantify in any way, or is it difficult to you just know it's good when you make a big splash and go to the Final Four and that affects people such as Kennedy and Taylor seeing you and doing things like that? But your international presence, for example, this summer, to have Jamie Wisner Scott, Allie Gibson, Ruth Hamblin, Michaela Pivick all together in one place in the Pan American Games, is it too early to tell what kind of that exposure and the other representation you've had on Team USA and the game coming up November 4th, can you measure what impact those sorts of experiences that your players have on the program going forward?
It's hard. I mean, I don't know how you measure it. I think what that does is it just takes the ceiling off. You know, if nobody could say, well, if I go to Oregon State, this wouldn't be possible. Now they can look at it and say, well, Oregon State is one of the programs that can get me wherever I want to go. And if that's the right fit for me, there's no limits here, you know, and there's no ceiling. So I think that's most important, you know, because there's not a conversation we can't have now. Mm-hmm. We can get you wherever you want to go. And so that's very special to be able to say. Not many can say that, you know, but that brings me a lot of joy, you know, to see those students you just mentioned, former athletes here at Oregon State and former students having such massive success on those stages. I mean, that was one of my favorite nights of my career, was actually watching Ruth and Jamie play against Allie, and at the same time, Sydney Weiss is starting on another channel for the LA Sparks. And I'm watching all four of them achieve at that level. It was just like surreal. I had two screens going and watching, and just, I was just so happy for them.
That's amazing. And if you include, there's four huge elements: facilities, as good as any, better than many. The former players, as you're talking about, but also relationship too, relationship of family building, because we routinely hear about players in most sports, in fact, at Oregon State, but especially here in women's basketball, and that is relationship. So someone brought up a topic, you know, what happens when you have recruits, you're at a football game, you lose 52-7. It's more about the relationship building, not so much that particular game.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, I'm not recruiting football players. I'm recruiting basketball players, you know, to our program, and it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with that. It is 100% relationships. It's 100% what you're going to do with the students once they're here and how you're going to help them achieve. And so you talk about facilities. Well, I'd just sum it up by saying I would hope that this program has zero weakness. You know, that's my job as the person who leads the program, to eliminate weakness, accentuate the strengths, and then just, you know, a little bit of a percentage increase each year in each category. How can we get a little bit better and fine-tune something a little bit more? You look at the fan base that we play in front of, my gosh, you know, and everybody said it. There's no place like Gill. Our opponents say it. There's no place like Gill. TV personalities are saying it. We know it because we get to look forward to it. And so what an awesome place. You know, this basketball center that we're sitting in right now is second to none, and I mean that. I haven't been, and I know I could be biased, but I really try to take my bias out. And I'm like, have I been in another practice facility that connects to campus with windows that fate, you look at campus. We're looking at Weatherford Hall while we're practicing each day. It sits directly next to Gill, directly next to our Sports Performance Center, directly next to our academic building, directly next to training table, and it's a 10-minute walk to the far side of campus from right here. You know, there's so many amazing things that just work together as we're, and I knew that coming in. You know, this there's a family culture here that you can't explain until somebody experiences it. And then you kind of shake your head at it once you are experiencing it, because, you know, it's actually way better than I even thought.
You probably get that feeling too when opposing coaches, if they happen to see it or have a workout at whatever they might, just like, wow, you guys got something going here.
Yeah, and it's unexpected, I think. You know, once they get here, I think more and more people are understanding it. You know, more and more people are getting here. I should say that. And so, you know, once you step into this building, it does have a wow factor.
Coach, speaking of a wow factor, I'm looking at a beautiful photograph here in your office. Coaches have such great memories. There's so many plays in a game. I see you crouched down at the end of the bench in this. This wonderful wide-range photograph. It looks like Gabby taking a three. Am I right? And over
Stanford.
Against Stanford in the full house. Do you have enough memory? Pete Rose remembered every pitch that he ever got, 4,256 hits. He could recite, well, slider, cut fastball, breaking ball. Do you remember this play? That's a wide-open look for Gabby. So what would have happened on that play?
Oh, I'm sure she knocked it down.
That's a good-looking shot, a big weapon in your offense. That's just one snapshot right here on a bigger picture, Scott, of what this place is all about.
Well, that picture, it's been up there for about a year now. And this was a night that exceeded all expectations for me. And I had high expectations coming in. I think you all know that. I was like, we're going to find a way, you know, to break the attendance record, you know, for women's basketball, just because I want to build a program and have our community get to know these students and just build something extremely special. And for our first ever sellout, which that's a picture of, was not only a sellout, but it was also the night we beat Stanford the last week in a conference, 2017, to win the Pac-12 for the third time in a row. And so, you know, it came down to they had a 3-3 at the buzzer and missed, and just an incredible celebration. And that was Gabby, Sydney, Bree Brown, Colby Orem, senior night, senior weekend, I should say. You see Marie under the basket, and then freshman Michaela Pivick on the far side on the wing.
That's amazing. Coach, let's talk about a huge event that just came to fruition, although I'm sure coaches have known about it for a while, and that's the U.S. national team coming in on November 4th. That'll be on the radio here locally, and it's before the regular season gets started. But what a great event that is for your players and for you.
It's hard to explain, and I mean, honestly, to know that Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Sylvia Fowles, Elena Deladon, who just threw out the pitch last night at the Nationals game, world champion, you know, with the Mystics, and others. Neka Igumike is going to be back in Gill. Right when I thought I was done with Neka, here she comes again. And so it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, this is the best team in the world coming in, and some of the best to ever play the game. You know, I think many people will say Diana Taurasi is the best to ever play the game. You know, obviously those things are up for debate, you know, but they're going to be playing against us here in Gill on November 4th. And it's going to be one, it's a pinch yourself moment. Like, am I really doing this, seeing this? And I'm not going to shy away from that. It's an incredible opportunity for all of us. And so, so proud to have them here, for Beaver Nation to be able to enjoy this event, and certainly for all of us to get to compete against them, you know, in an exhibition game. And, you know, to test yourself against the absolute best. And so what a great honor it is. And to be included, you know, I'm thankful to USA Basketball. And so we couldn't be more excited.
I'm sure that your players are going to play hard and do everything, get ready for the season to start, but probably some stargazing going on.
You know, I think at one point we should probably just stand there during warmups and look down there and just get over it. You know, it's just like you're going to need to. I mean, you're like, I'm guarding Sue Bird right now. I mean, that's what destiny and you know, well, all our guards are going to be doing from one time to another. And so Leija Clarendon, again, that's another Pac-12 player. She's on the team from Cal. Kelsey Plum is on the team but not able to be here that weekend. She has a wedding that she's going to be at. And so, you know, what an incredible moment. And so, yeah, we're going to have to deal with, you know, those thoughts. But then it's another game, and it's an opportunity to see who we are. And, you know, anytime you play against elite, and this is the elite of the elite, you find out what your strengths are, you find out what your weaknesses are, all those things are exposed. So as we look forward, what a great opportunity for us to grow as a team this year, you know, so really amazing.
The general sale is underway for that event, 541-737-4455 or beavertickets.com to be part of a tremendous atmosphere. Monday night, November 4th, Gill, 7 o'clock, Team USA, just one of four exhibitions in Gill Coliseum and the Beaver program. Honored to be one of those sites and teams that the team will play against, the Stars and Stripes team. 737-4455. Hope to have a tremendous atmosphere, as I know we will, at Gill Coliseum. Coach, we talked a little bit about the representation in that surreal night in Lima, Peru. But what about Jasmine Simmons' earlier part of the summer and what she got to experience in helping Australia bring home gold in the World University Games, how valuable that was for her?
Well, I was so happy for Jazz. You know, last year, freshman year is hard. You know, she didn't get to play a lot last year. Development was the point of her freshman year. Then to get to go back out and be in, honestly, a more familiar situation with a coach that she'd won a gold medal with in the World Championships as a 17 and under over in Spain, which is where I first watched her. You know, so she got to be with him in his system. She got to be around a bunch of friends. They had a great experience, obviously, in Italy this summer at the World University Games. And so we saw that translate when she came back to us. I think it was really great for her to get home for a while with her family, then go play with Australia. She played phenomenal over in Italy. And, you know, this game is is such a half-court battle. You know, it's a different game than the international game, and so it's uncomfortable. She's learning basically a new language on the basketball court, even though she speaks English, you know. And so we're seeing just steady progress in her game, and so I think she's going to carry that momentum. But it was another incredible experience for one of our students, you know, playing internationally.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Do you think we're going to see some more rules changes slowly inching more toward all of basketball being international rules?
Feels that way a little bit. The game is speeding up. The international game is faster than our game. 24-second shot clock resets to 14 on an offensive rebound. They're talking about even any possession that begins. Well, actually, they changed to this summer. Any possession that begins in the front court, meaning if you get a steal in your press or you advance the ball and take it out at you know, on your side of the floor in half court, the shot clock starts at 14 on any of those possessions, which just, wow. I mean, what a much faster game. Now, it's more physical. It's a freer flowing game for sure. And so I could see us doing that. I mean, we're adopting the three-point line. The men did anyway. I would assume we are going to probably do that a year from now is what I would guess, because I know people don't want two lines on the floor. And so I like the fact that we haven't expanded the key, and I liked women's basketball coming out and saying the post game has been such a big part of our game and is a staple of basketball. They don't want to do anything to damage that. I agree with that thought. Yeah. So I think we've made good changes. I've enjoyed the four quarters. It will be interesting to see when men's basketball adopts that, or if they do. You know, but when we've played internationally, I've enjoyed it. The kids enjoy it. I think the fans do too. And so I love our game, though, as well. I think right now where it sits, I can't really argue with anything we're doing. I'm happy with our game. And, you know, if you look at Gill, it seems the fans are too.
Yeah. You miss one-on-ones, front ends, and all of that.
I do, actually. That's a great question. I think you should have to earn it at the line. I've always felt like, well, skill should matter during that stretch of a game. They wanted to decrease fouling, of course, you know, and so that's a part of the game, though. It's a part, and so I like the fact that you'd have to step to the line and have a little more pressure on you, you know, but I like shooting free throws, too. So, so that's my preference.
One of the great players in the history of the program, and there's so many now, but we love her, Beaver Nation loves her, and Michaela Pivick. When you talk about looking at your overall program and saying if there's a weakness in any aspect of it, not just personnel but facilities or travel or anything you do, you want to do it better and not have that perceived as a weakness. Michaela, one of my favorite images from this gym, in this practice center, after she'd missed a couple of clutch free throws, every time I'd walk through here, she's on the line practicing. Here's a person who's so dedicated to being the very best she can be. So as she heads into this senior year, Coach, what you've seen from the picture over here where she's standing at the left wing watching Gabby launch a three that freshman year to where she is now and all the things she's worked on, what she's meant. Give us a thought about her, please, or a few.
Yeah, it's hard to have just one other than, you know, she's one of the – I just have to say she's one of the most selfless people I've ever met in my life. And I think that's true of pretty much everyone who meets her. It's hard to understand exactly how she works because it's counterintuitive. Here's somebody that has all these abilities and has developed herself to this level. And at the core of it, I think the underlying purpose is everything is for everyone else. She is sacrifices herself for everybody else. She's in that gym practicing free throws, not so Michaela Pivick can be all conference, but so her team doesn't lose again. And she wants to be in that situation and come through for them. And, you know, that's the core of her. And if you could even try to find an argument against that, and you couldn't. She is there for us, for everyone that gets to watch her. She wants them to have the best day possible. You know, so we have seen her take her game to another level. She sees each platform she's able to step upon as an opportunity to help more. So her opportunity this past spring to play for USA Basketball, Mick had never been to Colorado Springs for a tryout before. Most people at her age that get invited, they've been there several times. And so her first invitation, she finds a way to make that team. And so we saw her take her training to a different level because of that opportunity in the spring. Normally in the spring, she will maintain. She would train distance to stay in shape, and she eliminated that and trained only but for basketball. We saw an increase in her quickness, in her explosiveness, because she stayed with basketball training throughout, to the point where it was you could see it. Like, man, Mick's explosive. That first step is different than it was. And, you know, her confidence is through the roof right now. This is a person typical of our program, a senior on a mission. I mean, you can look back at Marie and what she did. You can look back at Gabby and Sydney and that crew and what they were determined to do. You can look back to Jamie and how she played with that fire, and along with Devin and Sam and Ruth and Jen. And so, you know, she's on that path. To where she wants to put this team on her back and carry them and help them achieve. So, yeah. So all I can say is being around her every day is an honor, and you know, and I've been around a lot of really great, incredible students over the last 24 years. You know, and Mick is at the top with the best of them for what she does for her teammates and the way she does it. So she's just an incredible role model, and when you think role model, you think for younger people. She's an incredible role model for every person. Yeah. My hope is that Beaver Nation understands what they have and takes full advantage of supporting this kid during her senior year.
Absolutely amazing, and just kind and soft-spoken, yet a fiery competitor. Thoughts on the freshmen? How are they coming along?
Yeah, I'm really happy. You know, Yelena is not on the floor yet, but her rehab's great. She's gaining strength in her knee. She had it scoped just to clean stuff up. No structural reconstruction, just cleaned it up. Yeah. And so it was an easy surgery. So she's just gaining strength in her knee. And so she's walking faster. She's jumping a little bit. And so I don't know exactly when she'll be back, but we're excited to. And I'm happy with her progress. And she's fitting in very well. And then, you know, our walk-on Noel is doing a phenomenal job coming in and fitting in and playing courageously every day. You can only imagine, you know, it could be a little bit overwhelming coming in and playing against this group of veteran guards every day. And she just holds her own, and she understands she's here to compete, and she's here to be what the team needs too. And so I've been really pleased with Noel and what she's brought to our program in every essence. You know, and then the two that everybody's talked about for a while now, and, you know, you've got Taylor Jones out of Dallas, Texas, you know, a blue chip recruit, played extremely well in Italy, you know, played through mistakes as she's learning, has an aggressiveness that just, you know, she's finding her way every day, and has a great confidence to her, jump hooks with both hands, everybody will love how she keeps the ball high all the time. I mean, she's maybe the best I've ever coached in that discipline right there. People have done a great job training her. You know, and then Kennedy Brown, for a player that's 6'5 plus, I mean, you think of Marie and how Marie was so versatile. Mm-hmm. Marie was 6'5. I think Kennedy's got an inch on her. Has the same skill set in that she's so comfortable on the outside, shoots the three, which Marie did not. She is now in the WNBA, but she didn't while she was here. But Kennedy is a face-up player that has back-to-the-basket game. And so she's so versatile inside and out, handles the ball like a guard. From at this point in her career, maybe the best post passer I've ever coached. Wow. And so, you know, they've come in and they've just done what you would expect. I mean, they're here to help us be great. They want to be great, and they want to win. And so it's evident in the way they carry themselves and how much confidence they play with, and how I love how they handle a mistake, or they handle something they don't quite know yet. They're like, okay, and then they go work on it, you know. So all of us, I think I speak for everyone when we say we've been very impressed, you know, by all four.
our last few minutes with Scott Ruick on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, also brought to you by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. One other aspect on Taylor that I've read about her game is that she is very disruptive on defense, that she alters a lot of shots, blocks a lot of shots. When you broke her game down, you started kind of with what she does offensively, and the same with Kennedy. But that's always, we know, everything foundational here is what happens on the other end defensively. So what about Taylor's game that way, and then Kennedy and others buying into the concepts that you have on defense?
Yeah, I'm pleased with Taylor's progress defensively. You know, when you think about it, Kennedy in many ways identifies defensively. You know, she is, I mean, I'm flipping it on you here, and I'm going to talk about her first. Kennedy's gift is angles and a mind that is a step ahead. And I saw that the very first time I watched her, and between her freshman and sophomore year in high school, where a player would put the ball on the floor and try to drive, and she'd meet them at the release point instead of going to them and letting the player go by her. And so she has a natural ability to deflect, natural ability to be in the way, which is something, you know, I mean, you think back to Ruth, the best shot blocker we've ever had. That's something that you teach, typically. That's something that Ruth had to learn, and then you learn the discipline of not swinging and all those things. Kennedy just kind of does that. Taylor does, too. Taylor's got a long arm. She's 6'3", but it's as if she's 6'6", or 6'7", based upon her wingspan, her timing when she jumps. You know, so we saw a couple just great blocks from Taylor yesterday in practice. So both are going to be extremely disruptive on the defensive end and on the boards, you know, which is who we are, just like you said.
Yeah, and on that, Coach, we've had testimony from a number of your players through the years who said, I thought I was a good defender before I got here. And it can be an eye-opening experience. Sydney Weiss is one of the more eloquent ones along those lines. Is that what you see across the board? It sounds like with Kennedy and Taylor, though, you have people that are already at least aware and committed to the defensive end. Are you able? I mean, it seems like you're able to get people up to speed pretty quickly if they're not quite with that program.
Well, I enjoy that process. And you know, this game is much different than anything that anybody has done before they get here. You know, for an international player, it's much different than the international game. And, you know, you're learning the game from a technical standpoint that's just more defined. You know, this game is coached so well that every little step, if you make one mistake, you're beat. You have to be so disciplined within it. That's uncommon. I don't expect anyone to know anything about how to play defense until they get here. Mm-hmm. I just assume that I'm going to have to retrain and teach from the ground up on that end of the floor. And I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So if they do have an ability before, that's a bonus. You know, and I see instincts in Kennedy's game that are going to translate quickly. I see a length and athleticism in Taylor's game that are already translating quickly, you know, to what we do. And so, yeah, and so that's the fun of the game for me, is to make them learn to love that end of the floor. Most people at this level don't, because most people here are excellent offensive players. That's the reason they're here, you know. And so then, well, I can just go score. So why do I need to get a stop, you know? That, and so that's just part of this whole thing. But their ability and their ceiling on the defensive end is extremely high.
We're old, Mike, because we both love defense.
My favorite part of
yeah, me too. Loved it.
Defense and all of that.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, Oregon State national championship, three of them. Two back-to-back in 06-07. That opened some doors in recruiting, obviously. But Pat Casey has even said, so they got into the living rooms of higher-profile players in those ensuing years and went a little bit away from, I don't think Pat's ever improperly evaluated, but he felt like getting back to more of the core-type players in the Northwest kids and the team that the foundation of the 2018 national title with some Northern Cal guys, obviously, too, and pretty good shortstop out of Vegas. But all of that said, Coach, when you talked about seeing Kennedy and Taylor early, I sense how many stars are connected to them or their McDonald's All-America status or whatever. That's not all the stuff that's running through your head when you're evaluating a player. It's nice if they end up being that. But tell us what process you go through and maybe doors that previously weren't open now are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've learned a lot over, you know, all these years. And I think one of the strengths, or not strengths, but one of the maybe I should say one of the advantages I had coming in is 14 years of knowing who I was as a coach and what worked well with me and what doesn't work well with me in the system that I know is effective. And so that means who you align with. And I really like the people that we just talked about, like Michaela Pivic, who are here for others. And so when that locker room is full of a selfless, mature 18-year-old, 18 to 22-year-old that doesn't just play for her, plays for her teammates and is capable of that, that's somebody I'll recruit. And so as you're looking and doors are opening that are different than previous, that doesn't change. We're still looking for the same thing. And I've learned I can't get away from that. You know, our program is built upon outreach. It's built upon inspiring other people. It's built upon bringing other people into our family and making them feel a part of it. So you can't have selfishness. You have to have a maturity. And so we've been able to stick with that, you know, through this. And fortunately, you know, find McDonald's All-Americans who that type of a mindset is part of their fabric. Mm-hmm. And so they're only going to enhance what we do, and we're going to maybe play the game at a higher level, you know, as they develop.
I think we're about to the end. The final thing is just the excitement level we've already touched on so many things, Scott. In terms of, do you have a pretty good feel now with the exhibition games that are coming up? And by the way, those exhibition games will be free to the general public. You're invited to come in both Sunday, October 27th against Union at 2 o'clock, Friday, November 1st at 6 o'clock. Those are exhibitions open to all of Beaver Nation to come in and watch your team play. Valuable experiences, I would think, for your team to get to play before crowds that will only grow and grow. Do you have a feel for how this year's team will play in terms of style and pace and tempo compared to maybe last year's Sweet 16 club or a Final Four team from four years ago, Coach? I mean, do you feel like 2015-16, do you have a feel for the style of play?
Even a rotation, too.
Yeah. Everybody wants to know, yes. Yeah. No, I don't. Rotation, I have no idea.
Didn't they?
We'll see how things, you know, play out. You know, Italy was good for us to experiment with some different things. And so, you know, I mean, one change we've made is Janessa's playing on the perimeter now. She's a wing, you know, which I think fits her game much more, and she's flourishing out there. I'm so happy for her. So that's kind of a significant one because she was playing only the four or the five before. But how we play, I think this team can be more disruptive defensively. I mean, that's a major thing for me. We last year, statistically, was our weakest defensive team that I've had here. You know, defensive numbers were down. We were a very capable offensive team most nights. And so it was okay. We were still able to win at some level, you know. But this team, I think, can be more disruptive defensively, which gives us a little bit more freedom, I think. And also will allow us to play a little faster. You make your opponents miss. Maybe you get a steal or two, you know, instead of being last in NCAA in steals. Maybe we can be 200th, you know, or something.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So that is something that we've been looking towards, and that's obviously not something I emphasize. Mm-hmm. We emphasize making them miss, rebound and go. The best teams are not going to turn it over, you know. And so, anyway, I'm excited to experiment with it. I think we are as versatile a team as I've had. You know, I think the guards are so veteran at this point. I've been able to experiment with some things that we haven't previously. They're making great reads. They're learning just to play the game to where we can be a little more free-flowing, which I think is a little tougher to defend, which I'm excited about. And so this group is extremely coachable. We're having fun every day. I mean it. The gym is – everybody feels good because everybody's seeing progress. It's a group that's committed to each other and to what we're trying to accomplish. And so that when you're part of that, special things typically happen.
It's been a special time, Coach. Thanks for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Scott Ruick, our guest this week on the Beaver Sports Podcast, also brought to you by Visit Corvallis. Check out visitcorvallis.com. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis, then extend your stay and take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game, stay to play. Johnny, that'll do it for this week.
All right, let's do it again next week, and I can't wait for that U.S. national team to come in. That's going to be huge.
Yeah, it is. And again, season tickets are still on sale for this year's women's basketball season. 737-2050, the number to call, 541-737-2050. The national team Monday, November 4th, BeaverTickets.com. Exciting times, and we're glad Coach Ruoff joined us this week. We'll talk to you again next week on another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.